You'd say, you know, we teach a lot on this show about spiritual warfare. We teach a lot about righteousness and Yah's word and his commandments and guidelines. And one of the things that Laura and I see people having an issue with is the deception that's being taught out there by the church today. One of the most common areas of this happening is people dressing in an immodest manner, but thinking that they're modest. So is that a way to describe it? Would you say they're deceived, or would you say there's other things that are leading up to that and making people feel that they're dressed modest, even though they're not dressed modest?
Yeah, what you just said.
Yes, what I just said. All right. But yeah, it's, that's it. They're just like literally walking around immodest, thinking they're modest.
I think people have different definitions of modesty in their own minds.
That's a good point.
Some people might not be modest.
Very good point. So the question now is, what is the biblical definition of modesty, and why do people have different definitions of it if it is biblically defined? So what, in your mind, would you define as, not your own opinion, but from a biblical viewpoint, what would you consider modesty? And modesty is more than just dress. It goes beyond that. But when you look at an appearance situation, what would you consider modest or immodest dress?
I mean, when I read Proverbs 31, I think it takes me to how a woman should be in general, not just physical appearance, but inwardly as well. So I think that's a good start, at least I think so.
And inwardly, as it says in the scriptures, as a face reflects in water, the heart reflects the person. So what's going in the heart is really going to come out and show. So, you know, if you're driving in a major city and there's a prostitute standing on the corner, you have a kind of a good idea of what's going on inside her, right? Or what her intentions are, her motives are.
And some people could also say, sorry to cut you off, that she's, let's say, for instance, a prostitute because she's, you know, has, you know, a lot of drama and trauma in her life from stemming from, you know, childhood maybe. So I guess she went that route because of what happened in the past. So,
well, that is that's the heart.
Yeah.
And what makes a person's heart get to a certain place is definitely up for discussion. But does that excuse sin? No. So our Creator wants us to come to Him in our troubles and our hardships to overcome these things, not to give in and choose the side of Satan, because things happen to us. Because things happen to all of us, right? Yeah. So that girl's a prostitute, and dressing immodestly is one of her least problems if she's a prostitute. But when you look at it from an appearance standpoint, what happens when there's somebody coming out of church that's dressed identical to where that prostitute is? Yes. Or when, you know, these women are embarrassed for somebody to just see them in their underwear, but then they go to the beach in a bikini. It's sometimes bad people making bad choices, sometimes good people making bad choices. Yeah, so, but regardless, it's a choice to be immodest. It's not something that you just do. It's a choice you make. We all have a choice. And some of us do it according to our own understanding of what modesty is and what modesty isn't. And we all have our own definition. Now, from a biblical standpoint, you said Proverbs 31, but even that could be looked at in a particular way, because there are other scriptures like in Timothy or 2 Timothy, and there's some other scriptures. It says a woman's inner beauty or her character should be what stands out, not her fancy curls or her gold and basically just her body on the outside, but it's her inner beauty that should come out, and really that's what should make her beautiful. And we know in this world today, you know, a beautiful woman definitely gets more attention. And we also know that, you know, people seek attention and certain type of attention, but you bring it on yourself as well. And I wanted to bring this topic up because we've spoke about this a lot on this channel. And I'm going to show you a video here. I'm going to share the screen here. Let me go here and share the screen because I saw something today. This one? Okay. I saw something today and I wanted to discuss it with you because let's go here. So this, I'm going to share a screen with you now. Let's see, share. Okay. So this is Pastor Gary Simons. He has a wonderful channel. Let me pause that there. He has a wonderful channel, great teachings, and a great ministry. And he has many different topics he speaks about, but I have never heard him speak about the topic of modesty. And today, to my pleasant surprise, it says Biblical Modesty, Overcoming the Pressure of Modern Culture. Excellent, biblically based teaching. And I highly recommend everyone see it. You can see if you just go to that link, and it's right there, that name, Pastor Gary Simons. There he is. There's his YouTube channel, Triumph in Truth. So, but the thing is, all the comments here were so wonderful. And, you know, you got good comments here. You know, amen, Brother Gary. Or this lady said when they started to dress modestly, they were treated very differently, like a lady. So you had all these great comments and everything else. And then you have this comment here. And here, this comment. So this comment is by a woman. And she says, brother, I followed you for many years now. You've always been one of my absolute favorites. But, truthfully, in love, your message in this video was extremely disappointing and disheartening. Now, let me just stop there and say, I've done many lectures on modesty, and I've gotten that kind of response from a lot of people. They've literally stopped following this ministry because they didn't like or agree with the message, the biblical message that came from the idea of modesty. So they went on to say, while it is absolutely our responsibility as women to dress modestly, okay, so it's their responsibility as women to dress modestly, even if only for simply our self-respect and respect to Yah. Okay, so now it is also the man's responsibility to exercise self-control regardless of what a woman is wearing. So we look at the word responsibility and we look at the idea of why Yahweh wants men and women to dress modestly. Why did he take Adam and Eve, who were dressed in bikinis made of fig leaves, and put tunics on them? And we look at the idea of self-control, where self-control is, I believe, one of the evidences of the fruit of the spirit that a man is filled or a woman is filled with, the Rahadat Kodesh. And it's an extremely important thing on every level to have self-control. But when this woman said a man should be expected to have enough self-control to look away and not entertain thoughts, even when surrounded by women inappropriately dressed, well, let's look at the scriptural model of that and see what the scriptures have to say about that. So, whose expectation is this? And if a man was able to have self-control under every single situation out there and under every situation, what does it matter how a woman's dressed or not? And we look at the deception of the enemy and how the enemy uses certain weaknesses on men. So the first example I want to give you is the Moabite women that seduced Israel with Balaam and Balak. They were most likely not dressed modestly. The men did what they weren't supposed to do, and the men have guilt. The men have sin. And the idea of the expectation that women have, or this woman has, to say, regardless of how a woman is dressed, a man should look away. Now, men, the enemy is out there roaring like a lion trying to destroy and devour, to devour us and so on. And we definitely shouldn't invite temptation in. But when we think about the expectations and everything else that happens, we have so many examples in scriptures of men that didn't look away and the consequences that it created. We look at David with Bathsheba. We look at Judah with the prostitute. We look at the Moabite women that seduced the men. And we go on and on throughout scripture how men were seduced by a physical appearance. So when this woman suggests with her butt, but men, she says, but men, regardless of how women dress, or I might suggest her saying, regardless of how I'm dressed, men shouldn't be looking at me, or if we take it to the level of regardless how women dress, men should have enough self-control to look away and not entertain thoughts, even when surrounded by women inappropriately dressed. They should. Men, you should do your best to look away, not entertain those thoughts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When we look at the example in scripture, we see this is one of the weaknesses of men and one of the enemies, the traps of the enemy, and makes this happen. That's not an excuse. But taking the self-responsibility away, for a man to say, well, look how she's dressed, I can't help it, is no different than a woman to say, I'm going to dress this way, a man should look away. So it's a self-responsibility that we must take and a self-control thing we must take. But when she goes on to say she's disappointed in this pastor for teaching the truth about how a woman should dress, and she's trying to turn it around, and turn the lecture around or the teaching around. It would you say at all, and I'm not asking if what she says is true or not, but would you say at all that it smells feminism to some degree?
I think all women who say that have a slight feminist view. Modesty and that topic in particular.
Blaming a man, or not even blaming a man, but putting it on the man and taking it off them.
And saying, like, it doesn't matter how a woman should dress. It's like, well, if you're a believer, you should dress in a different way. You should have that heart to dress in a way that will make people smile, instead of just making excuses and blaming others.
Yeah, so she goes on to say, brother, I ask you that you prayerfully reconsider your message here. It is an
errant teaching
that runs rampant through the church and has become a stumbling block, if you will, in our walks as women. So how does dressing modestly become a stumbling block? First of all, I don't see this message rampant, and it should be. But how does teaching about biblical modesty become a stumbling block to women? What is she trying to say with this? Do you believe that teaching a righteous woman how to dress modestly according to scripture is a stumbling block for her?
No, but I think she goes on to say, puts all the blame and responsibility on us. And that's simply not fair.
So going back to that, how does teaching from a scriptural standpoint what biblical modesty is put the blame on women? And what blame are we talking about here? I mean, he was teaching about how a woman should dress. What blame? Like, what? The woman was dressed in modesty. We just say modesty, so.
Because I think when people talk about, like, oh, women should dress a certain way, most people, I guess, they don't address how a man should have a responsibility also to look away, or how to act, really, or how to take that responsibility. It's just always like, oh, women should dress a certain way, women should dress a certain way, so not to, you know, make men stumble. And I think they don't obviously talk about the men's side of things.
Should, without making this a man or woman issue, which people try to make it, should a non-believer spend his time in a company, I mean, should a believer spend his time in a company surrounded by all day long, or just even at all, non-believers?
No.
Is that unequally yoked and asking for trouble and so on and all these different issues? Yeah, it happens. And if that believer has self-control, is it still not wise or healthy for them to be hanging out with those unbelievers?
So.
Yeah. So, you know, even if a man has self-control, if a man must have self-control and he shouldn't be hanging out with women that are immodest, and if all the women in the church are immodest, and if all the women everywhere are immodest, well, what situation does it put in the man? So this teacher's teaching, well, women, here's how you can dress modestly. And when I teach about modesty, I also teach about men dressing modest also, because that is an issue. But So we see this issue here, and I guess some women will use this response of, well, what about us women? Why don't you talk about those men and the lack of self-control when they need to control their eyes and all that? But there's the other side of it that talks about, well, what about us? Well, how come men dress this way? Or why don't men dress this way? But I see this feminist, like the demon spirit of feminism controlling women to dig deeper into this feminist stuff where it's all about on the men, all about on the men, and the women, you know, we're just some innocent little women here and it's not about us.
But they would say the same thing about women as well. Like you said, like men are always putting blame on us instead of taking responsibility. It's both ways, I guess.
Well, let's finish reading the comment and see what it says. It says, so she's asking this brother to reconsider because she's saying he's in error for teaching what biblical modesty is. Puts the blame and responsibility on us, and it puts the blame and responsibility on us, and it's simply not fair. The blame and the responsibility on us to dress modest. What blame and what blame is she talking about? Responsibility to help a man not stumble. To help a man not stumble. This is the idea of, it's like we shouldn't have anything to do with it. It's a man has control himself. Everyone has his own part. But I just don't like this type of response. Let's see here. It says, we become ashamed of our bodies and our beauty. Yes, men are visual creatures, but just like everything else, the world has taken that biblical fact. Is it even biblical fact or something we've just been programmed to believe and perverted it, made it out an excuse for men to not have to exercise self-control or to have much of the responsibility? Again, this is all said in love without malice, so I hopefully can receive this well. So this same person will read the Psalms in the Bible and the Proverbs by King David and Solomon, two people that were those people that had a weakness of looking at women and creating an issue. And these were some of the strongest people in the scriptures, closest to Yahweh. So let's look at Pastor Gary Simon's reply. It says, Shalom, we are glad you are watching our teachings and have been blessed for years. It appears that you have misunderstood the subject of this message. The subject is not self-control, but living and dressing modestly in a wicked and perverted world. Of course, men need to exercise self-control. We are in agreement about that. Men who love Elohim and follow Yeshua, who are filled with the Spirit of Yahweh, do that every day. Saying that men need to exercise self-control, however, does not give a license for women who profess to worship Elohim to conform to the immodest dress of modern culture. What would you say about that reply? Okay. Shaul spoke of not putting an obstacle or a stumbling block before others and walking in love. Agreement? Okay. That goes for men and women. Each believer is responsible for his own or her own appearance and behavior. Shaul said that it is, if he is eating meat, causes his brother to stumble, then he wouldn't eat meat. Interestingly, it is true specifically to women. What? It is true that most of the significant scripture verses on modest dress and appearance are addressed specifically to women, which may be why some believe women are being addressed more than men. However, we made a point to charge the men to live by the same principles of modesty, decency, righteousness, and set apartness, and to repent if they're not doing so. We feel this message was was delivered even-handedly with exhortation to both men and women. And his ministry stands behind speaking the truth in this perverted modern culture. Yeshua said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. The truth has the power to make you feel free, make you free. But first, it may make you uncomfortable. We are not afraid to speak the truth. Let's stand together. So what's your opinion about this topic and what you see in the places that you go? And again, I go back to the question is it a woman's responsibility, especially if she's a believer, to make sure she understands the biblical context of modesty and to walk in that way?
Yeah. And I think with Pastor Gary, he kind of at the beginning, I don't want to quote him because I don't know his exact words, but he said that we know obviously we shouldn't be dressed like the world, act like the world. And, you know, if we have the Holy Spirit, like, and we are born again, we are to change and be transformed, and we're not to sort of follow the old ways of living how we used to. So we should have that heart to dress modestly and act modestly. And so I definitely agree with everything that's said in there. And I'm not offended, like obviously some women are. So,
and most weren't here in this case. I mean, when I do a lecture like this, I guess a lot more know what to expect of me. So there are certain women that don't want to hear that because they think I'm singling out women. And, you know, I just understand about the part about self-control, but I also give that warning to men because I understand that, you know, as the Spirit moves inside us, we should have no desire to be around immodest women. And my thing is, and a big thing for me is, you know, I know certain things are not of Yahweh when it comes to a modesty standpoint. I know it. And most people haven't had that revelation yet. A lot of women haven't had that revelation. A lot of men haven't had that revelation. But I know that it's not just about being completely naked. I know it's showing the shape of the body. I understand what the certain parts of attraction of a woman's body are that men should not be looking at or be around the woman who's just openly showing these things. And when I do my videos, like if you wear a bikini, you're not truly filled by the Spirit, or that's evil and wicked or something like this, and the only person that should be seeing you naked or in a bikini is your husband and not the world, and people get upset about these in-your-face so-called teachings, but that's just the truth. So, you know, man, I mean, it's a challenge for us because, you know, for whatever reason, certain women don't see this. And it's not a challenge when we don't have to be near that. So, like, I got TikTok off my phone because it's just filled with porn and all this stuff, and I want anything to do with that. There are websites I won't even go on because I just know that they're just going to have certain things that I don't want to see. But still, what do men do when their own spouse, their own wives are dressing like that and don't seem to get it or care or think they're okay? Yeah, and it's not even that. It's that a lot of them, it's just not a bikini. A lot of them, it's the fake up. You know, they're making their face all sexual and their fake up and wearing their red lipstick and their eyeshadow and the mascara. And many of them are spending more time fixing their hair than they are fixing breakfast for their husband. And it's creating this issue. So what do you suggest men do in a situation like that?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think you said in your video once, and I mean, I do agree that, you know, men are kind of wired that way, that, you know, when they see, you know, attractive women, they tend to look. But I think with anything, really, I think that's kind of like not an excuse for men to do that. I think Gary said, you know, obviously, you know, repent. Think, you know, maybe pray and fast about things and, you know, do something that, because we are told to be holy as he's holy. So, you know, what was I going to just say? I lost what I was going to say. So, yeah, I mean, obviously that's not an excuse. I think if people or men sort of go about saying, well, you know, I was kind of born that way, or, you know, men are wired that way, I think people can use that excuse. I mean, I think of, you know, women or men who kind of smoke marijuana and stuff, they're under the same assumption of, well, you know, God made the plants, so it's okay to do it. And I think obviously it's not, whatever sin you're doing, to continue doing. So I think we're just all responsible for our own actions, really.
I think a lot of the scriptures are connected to our senses, and Yahweh gave us our senses for a reason. And the smells and the sounds we hear and the eyes, the visual we see, Yahweh's given us these senses to bless us and protect us and keep us healthy. And the enemy understands that, and spiritual warfare is real. And the enemy tries to attack us in those areas that we're weak. So whether it's through the audio or the visual or the sensible and the smelling, this is where the enemy tries to attack us. And there are many women to deceive, to believe, or used as the devil's weapons to try to attack men and bring down families through the perfume industry, through the high heels with the clicking sounds, and the chains on the earrings, the hanging earrings, and the makeup, the visual, and all this other stuff, where it's only natural for a man to desire to see his mate, his spouse, and procreate and see his spouse looking a certain way at a certain time. And this is part of nature. And his spouse should be the only one he sees like that. The only body he should see, the only fertile thing he should see is his wife. So he can procreate and have a desire to procreate. However, he's walking out in the world, and just about every woman out there is creating this look. And it's not for his eyes, but it's there. And women are being used as the enemy's weapon to make that happen. And just like a cat that's in heat, they show off signs. And when women are walking around in high heels and plumping up their face with makeup and their lips and everything else, they're like a walking billboard saying, "I'm available, I want to procreate, take me." And I mean, there's some restriction if a man is married, but if a man's not married, imagine how hard it is for a man to just go out in the world, and all these women are literally walking around with signs saying, "I'm available, take me." And then you know, even though they're giving those signs, and then a man does that, they're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, that's sexual harassment, because nobody told you to touch me." It's like, well, you pretty much have a sign you're wearing with your short skirt and your high heels saying, "Touch me," and now you're going to get me arrested for doing something that you're asking me to do, but you're telling me not to do? Come
out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministry. A1 Auto Care of Hope Sound is a WCNO corporate underwriter. Dave and Esther Morgan have been serving Treasure Coast motorists since 1986 with the best in automotive care. A1 Auto Care is located across the railroad tracks at the next crossing south of Bridge Road in Hope Sound. A1 Auto Care is available at 546-6667, where honesty is their only policy. That's 772-546-6667.
This is Mary Lee from Vera Web Consulting. We help businesses design smarter processes using AI where it helps while keeping people at the center. It starts with a strategic assessment. We study how your organization works, then build AI and digital tools that support your team, not replace it. Whether it's automation, decision support, or systems that talk to each other, we make it work for you. Visit VeraWebConsulting.com or call 772-268-2072 to schedule your assessment.